it's us again.
Yep.
We're back. Not even hungover or nothing. No. That was a fun show last night. I can't believe we talked about the fucking Warrens for 5 hours. Well, we didn't talk about the Warrens for five
hours. Telling you, man.
We talked about the Warrens for maybe an hour and a half, and the rest of it was just like our regular bullshit.
Probably was. I kind of forgot how the show went.
I think it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah. Fucking audience comments were fucking funny.
Yeah, it was, well, you know, it's like a funny
That's
topic.
About half the show is the shit you guys fucking tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oracle says, nice necklace, Jenny. Thank you. Yeah, it's H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
I don't wear it that much because it hangs down kind of low, and I always have to, like, kind of pull it up, and it's a pain
in
the ass.
She's like that shit hanging down kind of low.
Yeah.
Gotta get you these fucking more, like, low-hanging dresses. Get those fucking views up high again.
Well, we'll see how it comes out with my Halloween costume. That's supposed to be like real, but I don't know how it's gonna fit.
So I got part of my Halloween costume, man.
Yeah,
got this fucking set of Dickies fucking overalls.
Yeah, like coveralls.
They were like the deluxe ones. Fucking with the zippers and all the pleats and shit. It looked like the ones he was wearing in the movie.
Yeah,
that bitches were like $50.
How are you gonna do that? How are you gonna do what's that word that I forgot what it was? The things on his head?
Oh, the
wires? Electrodes, the electrodes.
EKG?
Yeah.
I saw how they did it. It was just fucking regular electrical wire.
Oh, with, yeah, we got a bunch of that.
With eyes. Eye connectors on the end of them. And then he took round Band-Aids and cut a slit in them so he could put the eye connector in there. All that was. It wasn't a real EKG.
Well, yeah.
Things. It was something they special effects made up.
Okay.
And it just kind of went up into his hair.
Into his crazy ass.
Yeah, and
Willy
he stood
Wonka
up.
Hair.
Yeah. Stood up. He had a glove on.
Yeah.
And the makeup. He had all that fucking red accents underneath his fucking eyes and his mouth like he was getting ready to fucking explode. Yeah, he was exploding. And see, that was some Oliver Stone, John Milius type stuff, you know, from the Hand. You know, at the end, a woman was talking about, you know, you're fighting back your primal urges, you know, and that was causing the fucking Hand to, you know, it's causing him to do shit. But was it? Or was it psychokinesis? Was it poltergeist? You know, there wasn't a real fucking Hand running around with roaches on it, but maybe there was. It supposedly came in through the fucking ventilation ducts. But the out was is that she had released one of his hands.
Right, so he could have gotten loose.
He could have gotten loose.
Right.
You know, you're not...
I mean, I thought... I haven't read the book, like I said, that it was based on. Because we reviewed it a while back, and it's based on a book called The Lizard's Tale.
Yeah.
And I think, from what I know of the book, and, you know, I'm assuming, you know, what they did in the movie, is that that was just his perception.
Right.
Like, that. Obviously, there wasn't, like, a supernatural hand, like, running around killing people. It was just, like, that was how he perceived
it. But was it a supernatural force?
I don't know.
Or was
I
it
guess
just
it could have been. Like
because
I said, they left it ambiguous.
You see, here's the fucking weird thing, is that character, and I gotta go back and see what his name was. I don't remember what his name was in the movie. To me, that's just all Michael Caine. Michael Caine played himself.
Yeah.
In all of his movies.
He kind of does all the time.
Yeah. But anyway, he was an artist, and he's drawing fucking basically Conan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, during that time, Oliver Stone was kind of working on Conan a little bit before that. You know, so there's a Conan, Milius, fucking Nietzschean fucking connection with the philosophy of the movie. I got to go back and see it again.
Yeah.
I want to see it again. Yeah.
Louis said, I would look awesome as the Bride of Frankenstein. I actually did think about doing Bride of Frankenstein. I have been the Bride of Frankenstein before. God, a long time ago, like before I met you even, back in like the fucking late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come out like really cool. And I actually did it with my own hair, which was, it looked awesome. But then the next day I was like, why did I do that? Because I like teased it like really super big. And I was going to do it this year, but then I thought of like something better. Like, or, you know, I thought of something cool, like it was original that I wanted to do. Okay, so let's talk about this horrifying documentary that just dropped on Netflix, which is called American Murder, The Family Next Door. Now, even though I'm like a true crime junkie, I somehow had not heard about this case, even though it was all over the news, I guess, like back in 2018 when it happened, or 2017, 2018, whatever it was. But I hadn't really heard of it, or if I did, I just heard of it like very peripherally, and I didn't really know any of the details. So I would be interested to know, like, people that already kind of knew what happened in the case, if their perception of the documentary was different, because I was coming at it from, like, not really having any idea what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about this documentary, if you don't know, it's about the Colorado case. There's this dude named Chris Watts, and he had a wife named Shanann, and they had two daughters who were little. I think they were only like three and four. And Shanann was pregnant with their third child, which was a boy. And at some point, he decided, like, he started fucking around on her with this woman, Nicole, like, that he worked with.
She was cute, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to chime in. I'm saying she was cute, too.
It's weird. The mistress and the wife looked very similar.
They looked very similar.
You know?
They were both cute. Was this cute woman worth all this trouble? No.
Well, no. Yeah.
This bitch was crazy.
Yeah.
Jenny's going to get into it.
This was a crazy fucking case.
Yeah, this dude was fucking crazy. And once I found out more details that Jenny told me after I watched the show, because I thought about it, I was like, man, what was motivating that guy, you know? And then once she told me more about it, which she'll probably tell you, I was like, this dude's a fucking jackhole.
He seemed like...
Something wrong with that dude.
Yeah. He seems like a total narcissistic sociopath. And he also seemed like... a black hole. Like, he seemed like a void.
Like there's nobody there. Like a robot.
Like there was nobody in there. He came across like that.
He was a lizard. You know how I was telling you? Well, not the David Icke lizard people, but I have seen some people that were fucking nuts, and it's like dealing with a lizard. It's like it's not a real person.
Yeah.
Like they're lacking consciousness or higher functions.
That's what I said. I said it seemed like he doesn't have any inner life. Like there's nothing going on in there.
It's like they're NPCs.
Yeah.
In a game.
He came across kind of like that.
Very empty-eyed and, what? And just kind of drifting along.
Yeah.
He just wanted a new girlfriend, so he killed his wife, man, and his kids.
And his kids.
Yeah.
Those little babies.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. So the thing about it, so we went into it not knowing anything about the case. So it's like, even though I was suspecting from the beginning, I'm like, well, obviously he probably killed her because that's, you know, 90% of the time. 95% of the time, yeah. Something like that. It's like, it's some very high percentage. Like when a woman gets killed like that, it's almost always like their husband, their boyfriend, their ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, something like that. So I figured it was probably him, but it's like, I didn't really know, like, cause I didn't know the details. So it's like, you know, so I'm kind of like watching it. I did like the way, this was directed by, she's a British, director, Jenny Popplewell is her name. I like that they didn't go the route of like a lot of true crime documentaries that have like, you know, it's just like talking head interviews like with people. The entire thing, it's almost done like a found footage movie because there's so much, because Shanann, the wife, she worked for, and I don't think they mentioned this outright in the documentary, but she worked for a multi-level marketing company. And so she was online like all the time. She was like, you know, on Facebook and like documenting like her whole life and her kids and everything, because that's what, so like a lot of people were just like, God, that's so obnoxious. Like, why is she like recording her whole life? But they encourage you to do that in multi-level marketing companies because you are your own brand. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're trying to like establish a personal relationship with like your clients and whatnot.
This is probably the best documented, best recorded fucking murder case I've ever fucking heard.
Yeah. They have all the dash cam footage, or the police footage, like the body cam.
Him trying to talk his way out of it. Him trying to say, I don't know what happened to her. Just everything. The fucking neighbors had fucking footage of fucking the truck being in a certain place and him doing weird stuff every now and then. And
they had all their text messages, like all their computer records. They had everything like that.
It's like a reality show.
That's what I mean. It was like a found footage one. And I really liked the way they did that. They didn't do any like talking heads, interviews, nothing like
didn't
that. It
to.
Just unfolded
didn't
like through their Facebook, like videos that she had posted, you know, body cam footage from the cop that like came and when she disappeared. And they had like all their text messages back and forth.
His
and it was
interrogation
crazy.
And shit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what,
his polygraph.
This dude was so fucking dumb and so amateurish in his thinking that I thought he didn't do it.
Yeah.
I was like, He couldn't have done it because there's no way for him to get away with this shit if he did. He doesn't have an alibi. If this is premeditated, then why, you know, it, because this is supposedly a premeditated murder, but it was like premeditated by a fucking 6-year-old child.
I'm not sure how much premeditation he did. Like, it was premeditated for sure, but I don't know how long he was planning it or if he had planned to do it that particular day or if he just decided, oh, well, I'm just going to do it now.
He just strangled his fucking wife while she was sleeping, put her in the truck, put the kids in the truck, fucking took them out to the woods, strangled the kids, fucking...
I think he smothered the kids.
Smothered the kids and threw them down a little fucking hole.
Like a fucking oil tank. And then out of the site where he worked.
Went back home and pretended like she didn't know where they were. You know, that's, I don't know where he cooked up a fucking plan like that. Like, oh, they'll never think I had anything to do with it. There's no evidence.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
The fuck
about?
You talking about,
You're the
dude?
First person.
That is not how
the husband is the first person they suspect.
So then they do give him a polygraph, which he fails. They come in here,
miserably.
They come in here and pressure the fuck out of him, and I did it.
He caved.
He goes, I killed her because she killed the kids. So he fucking put it on her to try to talk his way out of it. And then I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how was this planned? How are you gonna kill your family and then your new girlfriend not notice that the wife and the family are gone, and she's just gonna move up in the house with you and it's gonna be okay and the cops will never fucking... What world does this motherfucker live in?
I kind of feel like his thing was, because it's...
How do you even keep the girlfriend? The girlfriend would like, nah, this shit is not right. What
it's
happened
like,
to your family?
Yeah, it's like, why would you want to stay with a dude that's like, yeah, that killed his fucking wife and children?
Why are the cops questioning
would run
you all
screaming
the time?
In the other direction.
Why are the cops questioning you all the time about your family disappearing? Yeah, I'll move in with you. What kind of fucking world? What is this dude thinking? He's not thinking.
I don't think he was
thinking. I don't think he had much intelligence.
I think it's like, I kind of looked into, because I was really interested in this case. I will say, I think the documentary is very good. Like I said, I really like the way that it's put together. And coming at it as somebody that didn't really know anything about this case, it was really interesting and like really compelling how it unfolded. But I will say that once I got really interested, so I went and like researched the case, and they left a lot of shit out.
Yeah, one of the things that really fucking blew my fucking mind is I'm watching this program, and I'm projecting a motive into him. I'm thinking, well, he's trying to get rid of the old family and get the new girlfriend up in that nice, brand new, beautiful, expensive fucking mansion that he just bought. Not really a mansion, it's just a large house.
Yeah.
And then he's just going to continue his life like that. And he doesn't want to pay all that alimony. Nope. They weren't making any money anyway. They were fucking in debt. They were going to lose that house probably. So what does that mean? He did that shit for nothing. He did it for nothing.
Yeah.
He wasn't protecting any kind of money or investment or anything. He didn't really even have... That's a rational motive.
Right.
He's trying to protect his wealth. And he's going to kill the family. All right. That's something at least. This dude didn't even do it for that. He could have walked away from all that. He was going to lose that house and that family anyway.
Yeah.
So he... all that shit was for nothing.
Yeah.
It was all in his fucking head. All right? What lesson do we take from this? Divorce your fucking wife. That's all he had to do is divorce his wife.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in prison.
Because you know what I think it is? I'm not entirely sure. Like I said, I'm not in the dude's head or anything like that. But the more I thought about it, and then I like read some other stuff about, and I read portions of his like confession, because he did tell somebody that was writing a book about it later, like he kind of told her everything, like everything that had happened. And I got the impression that he was one of those dudes, like, and this is why I said that he's like a sociopath, because he was so invested in his image as like, you know, I'm this good guy, because it, you know, Shanann, she had been married before. Her like first husband was like a piece of shit. She didn't even want to get into another relationship because she had been burned by the first husband. And so I feel like Chris Watts was kind of like the kind of person that was like, well, I can't, like, my image as, like, the nice guy, the guy I, you know, I rescued her. We have this perfect life that's, like, all over the internet. Like, we have this beautiful house. We have these beautiful children. It's like, you know, she's always talking about, like, how happy they are and everything, all their wedding videos and all that other kind of stuff. And he's like, I can't, his image of himself as that guy was so important to him that he didn't want to be the person that left his family for another woman.
Yeah.
Because I feel like his image was more important than his family's lives were.
It's ridiculous.
He didn't want to be seen as the bad guy. Yeah. I mean, I really think that that was his sole motivation.
That's
because
a
long time, like, he denied, like, cheating on his wife.
Yeah. Another thing I picked up from the dude is that he's very beta. His wife was the fucking dominant one in the relationship.
Well, she was the go-getter. She made more money. She, you know, she did all of it.
He was kind of fucking beta around her. Huh? What? And I think the motherfucker really what motivated him partially is that he was a coward. He couldn't face her.
I think that had to do with it, too.
He was a coward. He couldn't face her that he was leaving.
Because
but
she
Mark
was...
Mark says it right there. Normally, when a dude does some crazy shit like this, he's wrapped up financially and there's all kinds of these fucking strings. You know what I mean? He's trying to protect a fucking shitload of money or a house or property. Mark says it right there. That motherfucker could have just bounced. He wasn't going to... He could have bounced and divorced her.
And the thing about it is that him and Shanann were... I mean, Shanann was trying to save the marriage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she had asked him to go to counseling. But she knew that something was wrong. She knew that he was messing around. She had suspected it because he was acting strange. So it's not like... I don't think she would have given him a lot of trouble if they just said, look, we should separate. Because I think they were talking about it beforehand. When she got killed, you know, when he killed her, she had been staying with, like, her parents in South Carolina for, like, 6 weeks. So it was almost like a trial separation. So it's not like it was coming right out of the blue.
Yeah, and they were going to lose the house anyway.
And they probably were.
So there's no reason. He had no reason to fucking try to kill her to protect the house. Just, you know what I mean? And save it for his new girlfriend. Just fucking stupid. Now he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and his fucking kids and his wife are dead. His ex-wife are dead.
Yeah.
And his kids looked like they loved him, so it didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it was like the stupidest shit
fucking
ever.
Stupid.
I have to say, too, that the girlfriend, Nicole, was also kind of a piece of shit. I don't think that she knew he was going to kill them, but she for sure... I mean, because they pulled, like, all her computer records and all her phone records and everything like that, like, after. I'm surprised she didn't get charged with anything, like, obstructing justice or anything, because she totally, like, lied to the police for a little while. But she was Googling stuff like... marrying your mistress. She was, like, looking for wedding dresses, shit like that.
Well, she was a homewrecker.
Yeah, but Googled, do people hate Amber Fry, who was the mistress of... Scott Peterson, who killed Lacey Peterson. That was another guy that killed his pregnant wife. Do people hate Amber Fry? And she also looked up Amber Fry book deal. So she's like looking to make some money out of this shit.
Damn.
It's like, so she was like a fucking viper also.
Maybe there was some shit in that. And she was recording that after or before the murders?
After. I guess it was after.
She wanted to know if she could make money off.
If she could make money off of, like, hey, I'm the mistress.
I don't think she knew he was going to kill him, though.
I don't think so either, but I do think that she's a shithead and that she's, like, looking to
make
money out of it.
I think it was a typical other woman type situation, you know what I mean? Fucking she wanted that man, and she knew that the fucking ex-wife, that the first wife was going to go. But I don't think she knew he was going to kill him.
Yeah, I think maybe they had talked about that they were going to separate.
Yeah, and I think there's no telling what he told her, you know, in person. She might have thought that they were going to move into that house together. And that house was have totally paid for, and that he was able to fucking cover all the bills, and that, you know, that he was, for all she knew, he was financially very successful. Because on the surface, it looked like he was.
That's what I mean. And that's what's, really creepy about this fucking documentary is because it's told so much through, like, you know, Shanann's, like, Facebook, like, all her videos and stuff like that. They look like perfect life.
They look like high-end income.
But then you find out, like, that all this horrible shit was going on, like, under the surface. So you can't, like, trust anybody's, like,
online. It was a good episode.
It was really good. It was weird because like we started watching it and I thought it was like a documentary series, but it's not. It's just like a standalone documentary.
Oh, that's
it's like
it?
It's like an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like
I
an hour
there
and a half long.
More of them.
No. So okay. Yeah, that's what I thought too, because that's kind of Netflix's thing is they do like, you know, 6-8 episodes, whatever, like about one crime, so they can kind of go into it. But now, like I said, I will say it's a good documentary. It's a good like introduction to the case. And like I said, it's super creepy the way that she put it together, the fact that it was all like this footage, because as I said, you can see, you know, the shit happening like almost in real time, and how creepy it is that you never know like what's really going on like in people's lives, like because everything just seems like this facade. And one of the creepiest things too was that when after Shanann and the girls like disappeared, or so they claimed, and he did not call the cops, Shanann had a friend who was worried about her because Shanann had just come home like from the 6-week trip like the night before, like at 2 a.m and her friend had dropped her off at the house because her flight had been delayed or whatever. And then like that night Chris killed her, and then the next day he was like, oh well, they went on a play date or something like that. And the friend looks in the garage and sees Shanann's car in there, and it still has the car seats in it. And she's like, yeah, dude, you're full of shit. And it's like, she was supposed to go to the doctor today and call the doctor's office, and she didn't show up. So the friend was like, I'm calling the cops. And fucking Chris told her not to. But then, of course, she did anyway, because, you know, that friend was a fucking hero. And then they go to the fucking neighbor's house, because the neighbor had cameras all over his fucking house, and he had caught Chris like parking his truck in a weird place and like loading something. You couldn't tell it was a body or anything because it was real sketchy looking.
Sandra said Chris and that girlfriend were going to get an apartment together. They weren't going to live in that house.
Yeah. Because like I said, I don't think they were behind on the mortgage. I'm not entirely sure. Like maybe someone can look at it, but I don't think that.
She's saying that she thinks that he didn't want to pay that fucking child support for 3 kids. But really, I mean, he had a job. He didn't make a whole lot of money. But, you know, they can only take so much from you. I mean, if you don't have the money, they can't take much from you if they don't have anything. I don't
know
the state.
Right, that's what I mean. It's Colorado.
You know, Colorado. I don't know what the laws are there, but, you know, you can only pay what you can pay.
I mean, even before, like, the stupid thing is that apparently, I mean, looking from all their, like, because they pulled, like, all their text messages and everything like that between Chris and his wife, like, before, like, all the arguments they had and all this other kind of stuff. Apparently, when she got pregnant again, she, according to her, she was telling a friend, she's like, you know, Chris said he wanted another baby. He wanted a son. She's like, but then I get pregnant. And then he's like, I don't want it. You know what I mean? Like, he basically told her, I don't want it. Like, you need to get rid of it. And she was like wigging out.
He knew he was leaving.
That's what I mean. And it's like, so, as I said, it's just this dude is just another creepy thing, too, is that like when the cop first got there, like, you know, when supposedly Shanann had disappeared, they were asking him, like, do you know, where she is and, like, what happened and stuff? And he's, like, answering, no, I don't know. And he was, like, smirking. Almost like he couldn't, like, hide it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know where she is.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so fucking creepy.
His emotions were all wrong from what it seemed like.
Yeah, it's like he didn't, I mean.
He knew where they were. He wasn't under any stress. He wasn't like, where are they? You know, he wasn't like that.
Which is what a normal person would be like.
You gotta find them.
Like, if your wife and kids was missing, you'd be like wigging out. Like, where the fuck are they?
You'd be jumping in the car looking for them.
Right. And it's like the fact that he was just like, nope, I don't know where they are.
Because he knew they weren't coming back.
Yeah.
But,
horrifying.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Now, what was I gonna say? I was gonna say something more about him. There's just odd shit about him. That doesn't matter. I'll remember.
Yeah. Sandra was saying, I think Chris thought he had more time to get rid of evidence and get an alibi, but Shanann's friend came in between. He didn't expect the police to show up that early. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Because the friend, whose name was also Nicole, I was watching another video about this earlier, and they called her Good Nicole and Bad Nicole, because that was the husband's girlfriend's name, too. But, she was just like, she knew something was suspicious, like, right from the jump, and she was just like, no, man, this isn't right.
I remember what I was going to say about the relationship between the new girlfriend and the old girlfriend. He had been with the wife for about 8 years.
I think it was 8 years, yeah.
And like I said, he was fucking kind of beta. She looked like she kind of bossed him around a little bit. I kind of have a feeling that he met the new girlfriend, and I think she kind of looked up to him or something in a way, which made him feel fucking more masculine. So he's like, I'm going to be with this one. That's what I think happened.
Maybe.
And then he started getting back in shape. You know what I mean? I saw his weights. That motherfucker didn't have but like 120 pounds
on that bar. I thought you'd comment on
that. Yeah, I was like, dude, that's like 120 pounds on that bar. If that says, you know.
I really like, though, I have to say that I really love that the cop, the male cop, like when they first brought him in, they're like, you're probably cheating on your wife because you suddenly like got all into fitness and everything. Which is, like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean that, but that is a very, very common thing that people that are cheating on their significant
others. Well, he saw her at work.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? He starts aspiring to that.
I think that she pursued him.
Yeah. And he got an ego boost from it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, she treated, most likely, right, the pattern, knowing how guys are, she treated him better than the old wife. That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I got to be with this one. Because he's not, he didn't seem to be a very strong personality. He couldn't see through things. He didn't, like I said, he's an NPC.
Yeah, he just seemed, he didn't seem terribly bright.
Not real bright. And then he doesn't really think this through. He's like, well, I'll just kill this family. It'll be all right.
Yeah. I mean,
where the fuck you come? What are you talking about, dude?
He's an idiot.
You know what I mean? You're a fucking idiot. Even if you have a slim chance of getting caught and going to prison, you're going to take that slim chance for fucking going to life in prison when you can just do what everybody else does and just divorce your fucking wife? Divorce your fucking wife, man. What the? You don't need to kill her.
And then the kids.
You're going to kill the kids?
Crap.
You need your ass beat. You need your ass beat bad. Well, I don't know what people will think of it. What are they going to think of you when your fucking wife comes up missing and your kids come up missing? They're going to know you did it even if they don't know. Even if they can't prove it, they're going to go, man, you did that.
Well, like I said, it's like, I don't know, like, you know, the exact statistic, but every time a woman gets murdered like that, times out of 10, it is usually their husband or their ex-husband or their boyfriend or something like that. It's almost always that.
Yeah, and they dig through the past, and there's a long paper trail of all kinds of fucking problems and a bunch of motives that this dude might have to get rid of, to knock the wife off.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I will say, because I kind of feel like, you know, even though this was directed by a woman, but I will say that they made Shanann, I don't know if they made her look bad, but they did make her look kind of needy and obnoxious a little bit. And I don't know, because from what I read of her, like when I kind of read more about the case, you know, she was kind of a little bit obnoxious, I guess, where she was just real bossy. She was just kind of one of those like go-getter type women. But I feel like she was a lot nicer than they portrayed her in this.
I don't think she was a bad person.
No, she wasn't.
I think the new woman treated him better. That's why he did it.
But
he's an NPC. He had mental problems, though. He took that shit too far.
That's what I mean. That is like a sociopathic. Yeah. And I mean, for him to just stand there and be like, no, I don't know where they are, and then he's just like smirking at the cops? Fuck that guy.
He's a piece of shit. He's crazy.
Oh, God.
It's a lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't fucking...
I mean, that's just so fucking dumb. It's so fucking dumb. Yeah,
something missing in him. Something missing in that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's not normal.
And another thing, too, that I found out, and I was like, oh, that's really nice, too, that he actually killed all three of them, but then he tried to posthumously blame it on his wife. Like, oh, you know, she was killing the kids, and I just, like, blacked out with rage and killed her
killed
to
her
save them or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then it came to light later that he had actually tried to kill the kids first.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to strangle them or smother them, and then he thought he had killed them, and then he went into the master bedroom and killed Shanann, but then the little girls got up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they were still alive.
Yeah.
And so he puts her body in the fucking car and then puts the little girls in there alive and takes them out to the fucking oil field and then smothers the kids and stuffs them into the fucking
He had a dead
tank.
Mom in the back or something.
Yeah.
He's a real piece of work, man.
And the kids were sitting, he's like, is mommy okay? What's the matter with her? It's like, that's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Fucking horrifying.
Make your skin crawl.
Yeah.
Ew. I mean, the only thing kind of close is a couple of cases that I've heard about where a guy kills the whole family.
A family annihilator, that's what they call that.
Which one?
That's what they call that type of person. Usually they commit suicide, though.
Yeah, usually they commit suicide.
So this was kind of
sometimes
a rare case.
Sometimes they stay alive, though.
Yeah.
And then usually it's kind of like an honor killing. He's got this big fucking house, and he's doing things, quote, the right way, end quote. You know what I mean? And he's real fucking kind of uptight. and he's got to be the fucking main breadwinner. He's one of those kind of guys. Then he loses his job, and he can't fucking hide it from everybody. And his status in the family is going to be diminished. And they're going to have to fucking leave the house and go to fucking cheaper quarters till he can find... And he can't... He can't
deal with it.
He can't go with that. He's a guy who, once he has something, he can't let it go. He can only move up. He can't move down.
Yeah.
So what he does is he, like, rationalizes to himself that I have to put this family out of their misery.
Yeah.
So he usually ambushes them in fucking quick coup de grace, like gunshot wounds to the head. They don't even know what's coming. And then he wraps everything up and burns the house down and then kills himself. That's usually what happens, something like that. One dude fucking just killed him, left them all out, left fucking shit, you know, kind of left them out like they were... He left them in positions of honor and shit and then vanished.
Yeah.
They didn't find him for fucking decades. They found him as a very old man later where he had kind of just survived.
Yeah.
Weird, you know? There's some guys that just can't deal with fucking loss of face. It's almost kind of like something... It's almost kind of like something that you might see happen in Japan, where a guy commits suicide because he loses his job. That kind of deal.
I mean, the fucked up thing about that is that their wife and kids at that stage are just part of their ego. Like, it's something that's propping their ego up. It's almost like they don't consider them as, like, full people.
No.
Because it's kind of like, you know, well, oh, this is part of my image. My image is collapsing, so I have to, like, get rid of them. It's like, you know, you didn't ask them if, like... Well, you know, we can move to another place. It'll be fine. All this other kind of stuff.
I think the dudes that do that are not fully fucking people. You know, I mean, they're kind of lizard-like themselves.
Yeah, like this dude.
Kind of NPC-ish. And when they lose control of the situation, they just fucking try to abort everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, I can't... If I lose my job, we'll lose the house, and then we'll be poor, and my kids will... I'll have to take them out of private school and they'll have to go to regular school and they'll have a bad upbringing and they won't be up to my standards and all this shit will be substandard and, you know, and so, you know, we have to end all this. And that's the thinking.
Yeah.
Weird.
It is very weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand that mindset at all. Like I said, because you're taking all of their choice away. Well, maybe shit would work out all right. You don't know.
Yeah, it would.
It probably would.
He's just too uptight.
Right.
He's real super set in his ways. He's doing exactly what he was told, what he thinks is the right thing. And it's a big kind of like honor killing. And here's the weird thing is he sees the families as kind of like extensions of himself.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That they're things that he created.
Yeah.
And that in order to protect them, he has to now kill them.
Yeah.
He has to protect them from a bad future.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it's like something you'd see in Japan where a guy kills himself because he loses his job. And the family's dishonored. That type of deal.
Yeah. People get too wrapped up in that.
Get wrapped up in that shit.
Well, and the thing about it is most people are living their own lives. They don't give a shit about you losing your job. No one's talking about you. It's like, you know what I mean? Just
kinda
do your own shit.
Kind of comes from cultures where everything is set on rails and that everything happens according to a plan.
Yeah.
In other words, like a ritualized or a stylized lifestyle.
Yeah.
And those are pretty much gone. And if they ever existed. Not sure they actually ever existed.
I mean, I kind of feel like this dude, Chris Watts, had a little bit of that. Because like I said, it seemed like his image was more important than his family's lives were.
I guess.
Like, he didn't want to look like a bad guy. He didn't want to look like, hey, I'm the asshole that left my pregnant wife
for another woman. Yeah, I don't want to look like a bad guy, so I'm going to kill my family.
Right, which makes him look like an even worse guy, because he is also a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah,
and
really.
They, you know, they had all... Oh, another thing, too, that I forgot to say that Nicole, the bad Nicole girlfriend, another thing that she Googled was, can the police... like pull up your deleted text messages or something like that. So it's like, these were not fucking master criminals that we're talking about here. They were like Googling pretty much like how to do this, then the other thing.
Ridiculous.
Like, am I going to, it's like, it's stupid. But yeah, so the thing that pissed me off the most was the shit that she Googled about Amber Fry and like the book deal and everything like that. Cause that whole like fucking Lacey Peterson murder. I was like, stay classy chick. I don't know what the fuck happened to her. Like I said, I don't know why she didn't get in trouble. Because, I mean, I don't think she knew anything about the murder, but like I said, they can do, like, for, obstructing justice, that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know why she didn't get in trouble, but whatever. What are you gonna do? But yeah, so if you guys haven't watched it, it's a really good documentary. Like I said, they do leave a lot of stuff out, as I discovered when I went digging into the case a little bit more. It's weird because it's like really good documentary, but some of the stuff they left out, I think should have been put in there. You know what I'm saying? Because it, you know, was germane to the case. But you know, it's a minor criticism. Other than that, I really liked it, and like I said, I liked the more found footagey kind of way that they did it. It kind of came across really cool. But that all you have to say?
I just say fuck that dude.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone's going to argue somebody with you said, on that score.
Somebody said in there that fucking the one daughter saw the dad kill the other daughter, and then she goes, "You gonna do that to me?" And then he killed her.
Yeah.
That's some bad shit. I couldn't even do that to one of my cats.
That's what I was saying. It's like, how the fuck can you do that to like a little kid that's like, yeah. Daddy, no. Like,
it has a consciousness and is related to you.
God damn. You have to be a fucking cold ass fucking...
You can't read too much into it. You're dealing with a person that has some kind of mental fucking problem.
Yeah.
And that they don't... That they're like a lizard. Some kind of brain fucking problem. To where... You know what I mean? And I come from a background where I totally understand dudes fighting each other to the death on some kind of fucking Japanese island, burning each other fucking to crisps with fucking flamethrowers and stuff. I can totally relate to that. You know what I mean? But I can't relate to anything like this.
That's what I mean. It's like, this is like...
Yeah, that would horrify every fucking soldier I ever fucking served with. They'd be like, whoa. And then those same dudes might be able to press a button and drop fire down on other people's fucking families while they're sleeping in their houses. You know what I mean? Like, they could do that, but they couldn't fucking... do that to their own kids. They'd have a hard time doing that to somebody else's kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even the enemy's kids up close.
Well, up close. Like, yeah. It's easier remote, to do from far away. Remote,
press a button and launch a missile, that's very different.
Yeah, because you almost feel like you're, like, removed.
You're kind of removed from it. You're from just it. Doing orders, sure. And you're just fucking designating something to what the higher-ups told you to do, and, hey, you know, this is my job. Take that rocket.
But if they made them, like, get up in their faces.
You're right. Go down there and go kill that family. Go strangle that little girl. Those dudes couldn't do that.
No. I would hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, most normal people would not be able to do that. Yeah. No fucking way.
Well, here's another thing. Even the Nazis couldn't do that, for the most part. That's what those concentration camps were all about. They put them in there and had capos do it, who were German criminals.
Yeah.
And then in the end, they were going to kill those criminals. That's who was running those death camps.
Well, and like I said, that was a very, like, industrialized way. It was a way of removing themselves from the equation.
And the death camps weren't even in Germany. They were in other people's countries. They were in Poland.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were really trying to distance the Germans from it. And that was because they had these Einsatzgruppen before that, who were special action groups. They were just recruited from regular German policemen. They kind of militarized them and sent them into Eastern Europe to slaughter families. You know, usually captured Jewish families from the Jewish sectors of whatever town they took. They'd dig a big pit, shoot them with rifles, and then bury them. Well, it didn't work because the guys started blowing their own heads off. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't take it.
Yeah.
You know, and these are Nazis. They couldn't take it. So that's why all those death camps were made.
Yeah.
Because their own people couldn't do that. So it makes you wonder, what kind of motherfucker can strangle his own kids like that?
That's what I'm saying. And the creepiest thing to me, like, about this, was that the dude, he didn't have a criminal record. He seemed completely normal.
Yeah.
And he seemed like, he just seemed like a regular, like, bland, upper middle class white dude.
Yep, he seemed totally fucking just like regular. Regular plain ass motherfucker.
And that's what I told him. I said, look, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah, well, no.
Holy shit.
Well, just that dude was an anomaly. And
you never know, though. That's what I'm saying. You never know. It's like just the most normal fucking milquetoast motherfucker walking down the street just, I'm going to strangle my wife and kids.
Yeah, and then how do you go? And you know, after I get this done, I'm going to get me some pussy after this.
Yeah.
And that's what he's thinking.
And the fact that he thought that the girlfriend was gonna, I mean, she sucked too.
Anyway.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'd be like, you killed him, didn't you?
Yeah.
He'd be like,
I didn't know.
He's like, yeah, come here, baby.
Yeah, eventually he would have told her. He was, you know, I killed my wife and kids for you. Eventually, it would have gone to that. He would have fucking spilled his
guts.
And
if he had got away with it, and it's like if she pissed him off, he would have killed her too.
Yeah. She would have ratted him out eventually.
God damn.
Ugh. She probably would have ratted him out as soon as he said that.
That's fucking creepy as shit. Like I said, yeah. You can't. Just normal looking dudes walking down the street one day and all of a sudden. Eee. Terrifying. But yeah, so it's on Netflix if you want to watch it, at least in the US. I don't know if it is in other countries, but yeah, it's like a fascinating case. And like I said, it was like a huge like media sensation, and somehow I didn't really know anything about it. So I didn't really know where it was going. I mean, like I said, I kind of like figured when I saw that fucking smirk that I was like, oh, he totally did it. But I, you know, I didn't know the outcome. So it was like kind of cool, but you know, to watch the whole thing unfold because I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But yeah, it's good. Like I said, they leave a lot of stuff out. So if you're interested in the case, you probably want to go and like read a whole bunch of other shit. And all the footage that they have, that they put in the documentary, like all of the, his polygraph tests, like all of his, you know, all the body cam footage and all that, the entire shit is on YouTube. So if you want to watch like the whole like unedited, all the body cam footage, all the, you know, him getting interviewed, his polygraph and stuff, you can see the whole thing. It's all on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I saw it earlier today. All right. So, we will kind of taper this off, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow talking about another movie, which we've actually already seen. So I'm kind of excited to talk about this one because it's like a horror movie and I really, really dug it. But yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, like usual, with another live matinee. So bye.